Society. After all of that, let's see if we have some sound. And we do. Hello, this is North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Bill Newell will be with us later on. And we have our usual eclectic lineup once again this evening. Not sure about our total interview package, however. Want to let you know right away that with late in the second period up in Chelmsford, it is, let me see here, Lincoln Sudbury leading Triton by a score of 4-1. And all these late games, these late tournament games, late in the tournament games in the D2 North, have been real barn burners with overtime wins for each of the teams a couple of times each, I do believe. So anyway, Ryan Sheehan, we're hoping to talk with Coach Sheehan, but that depends on how things go. And right now, Lincoln Sudbury on top by a score of 4-1. That may be the biggest lead they've had in the tournament thus far. So this is the D2 North final. And Bill Newell will be talking about upcoming events tomorrow here on MSO, as he'll be covering a basketball game. It's not really a state championship. It's sort of... I don't know what to call it. It's the game. I guess it's the semifinals, state semifinals from the Garden. That will involve, is it Lynn English tomorrow? Yes. Lynn English tomorrow, and then Beverly on Wednesday. But Bill will have all the information on those games coming up. We will be talking with the Danvers High School Director of Athletics, Andy St. Pierre. We're going to talk to Andy about the winter sports season that just went by at Danvers High School, another very successful winter sports season. And then we're going to maybe do a little preview of spring sports, a little early for that, although it didn't feel like it today.
Oof, what a day. wrong day to be in school all day, let me tell you.
Wrong. Okay, well, that's your fault.
You're telling me.
That's your choice, I should say. So let's see here.
You're going to pull the...
And I know, I'm all hung up. All right, there we go. So... what else we have? Oh, we'll be talking with Gary Larrabee, of course, on golf and on sports in general. We'll talk with some other sports, and I don't get into the stuff that is all in. But then, again, Bill Newell will be by later on more about what's coming up this week. And also, to point to our website, the Saturday games from Lowell are all over the website, and Bill has lots and lots of interviews. He has lots of, with coaches, with players. He's got pictures up there. So if you were up skiing, up country skiing like I was this weekend, and you don't have a chance, didn't have a chance to check it out, now's the time to do it. So what's up with you? What are you doing over there?
I'm just trying to get updated with my Twitter here to get to some of the latest things in terms of scores, but it's a lot of it is political regarding the coronavirus and international reaction to it, you know, and we'll just leave it at that because I could go right off the deep end. So we won't. We'll keep it to sports. How about those Red Sox?
Well, the only thing I can say is...
Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it.
We got three octogenarians running for president, and if they were out on the job market, they wouldn't be able to get a job.
No.
So figure, I don't understand that one. That's, I guess anybody can be president in America.
you know why?
I just don't get it. You know, you got one guy with orange hair who couldn't possibly get a job, and you got two guys, with one with no hair, the other guy with barely hair. They're both white hair, and well, they are white also, and they're octogenarians, and they wouldn't be able to hold down a job.
It is not going to change until the younger generation decides to commit itself to the democratic process and exercise their right to vote, because right now it is the older generation that is going out there and listening and voting, and that's why you see what you see. You see, and Bernie does have sort of a lot of young people, and I think Joe Biden offsets that with a lot of support from older people. And but there aren't, you know, Bernie has his followers amongst young people, but there's not enough young people involved, invested, in tune, and going out and exercising, like I said, the right to vote, and bringing along the younger people that are interested in challenging for that seat.
What I'm hearing is that because Biden's machine sort of mocks Clinton's machine, they're thinking some of the younger people think it's corrupt anyway. Bernie seems to be out of the picture now, according to them, so they plan not to vote in November. And I agree with you. You got to do it. You know, and you mentioned that particular block of voters, and the guy in the White House has all the rest of them. He's got the other 48-49%. So, and they vote.
Yeah, that's the thing. The Republicans will wave the piece of red meat, wave the bloody flag, and they'll all get out there and they'll vote. And then, you know, for the next 4 years, those same people that didn't vote will bitch about the fact that, you know, the White House is occupied by its president occupant.
That's, you know, one thing, and we're going to get off this very quickly here. When I was a teacher, and I would hear teachers complain about the contract or the teachers' union, a lot of times they were people who weren't involved in working with the union. And I made it, after working for a couple of years in the union, I made a policy just to myself that if I'm not going to work actively with the union, all I'm going to do is pay my dues, then I'm going to keep my mouth shut no matter what the contract says. Because if I'm not working, like, you know, doing the work, then I don't think I have a right to it. So, and that's similar to voting. Just get out there and do it. For sure. All right, let's get back to sports. We do have Andy coming up. We got lots. We may have some time to talk other sports as well here tonight.
We didn't have Grenier on tonight because it would be interesting to get his take on the latest slide of the Celts since we talked to him last.
Well, I'm not sure it's a slide as it is a little bit of a slump. And I think...
slide, slump.
Well, but the people, the personnel back in and out, it might have something to do with it. And... yeah, it will be interesting. Well, maybe we can get them on next week then. Yeah, but yeah, they've had a slide, or what'd you call it?
A slide.
You call it a slide.
Yeah.
And so the Bruins. So there you go. And the Red Sox. I don't know if you want to talk about them. All right, let's get out of here and talk to Andy. Andy, we got to talk to people who know what they're talking about. We'll be back in just a second with the director of athletics at Danvers High School, Andy St. Pierre. So stay with us.
I resent that.
What do you resent?
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Did I say
did I
say that?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I have no idea.
I don't know. Okay. All right, that kind of says it all.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Harrington Trophy has been rewarding the North Shore for over 30 years with quality custom awards, screen printing, embroidery, and more. We pride our family-owned business on our exceptional customer service and quality products for the right price. Custom t-shirts, sweatshirts, warm-up suits, hats, along with the area's top trophies, plaques, glass awards, we are the one-stop shop for end-of-the-year banquets or advertising your small business through apparel. Come see us at Harrington Trophy, Chestnut Street, Lynn, or harringtontrophy.com.
You'll love the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, as they feature a menu to please everyone. Start your meal with your choice from a dozen delicious appetizers. There are also soups and fresh salads. Dinner selections include burgers, sirloin tips, chicken parmesan, chicken piccata, and then there's seafood, clams, haddocks, salmon, lobsters, and fish tacos, plus a wide selection of sandwiches and wraps. Let the Bradford Tavern host your events or functions set in unique spaces. Open 6 days a week, Tuesday through Sunday. The Bradford Tavern, Route 133 Rowley, and BradfordTavern.com. The North Shore is listening to MSONewsSports.com and our great selection of podcasts.
Hi, this is Phil Stacey, Executive Sports Editor at the Salem News. Make sure to listen to our podcast every week with the sports writers from the Salem News, including Matt Williams, Nick Giannino, and myself.
MSO News Sports, connecting you to the North Shore.
All righty then, we're back now with Andy St. Pierre, who's the director of athletics at Danvers High School. Hello, Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you guys doing?
Good.
I'm depressed because there was no winter this year, Andy, and I'm a skier, and it was just nothing. It's just very depressed. And you know what? The ground never froze. There's green grass out there. I'm going to have to fire up my lawnmower. I got buds on the dadgum trees. So.
Well, I'm sorry for your loss, but the rest of us cannot sympathize with you.
That's right. If the weather holds, we start baseball on time, Andy.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, we probably still won't be out day one just because the field's got to come alive first. But, I mean, this is as close as we've ever been to being out day one. So
exactly.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, okay. You guys can have your fun.
And you can go water skiing, all right?
Well, you know, the only trouble with that, somebody said that. The only trouble with that is I got to find someone with a boat who knows how to drive it so I can do it.
Oh, you know a lot of people. I think you'll be all right.
Yeah, okay. All right. Listen, Andy, let's get down to business here. A really good winter once again for Danvers High School. I followed, of course, the hockey team very closely, and man, they gave Lincoln Sudbury everything they could handle. And I guess Lincoln Sudbury's up 3-1 right
now. 8-1.
8-1 against Triton.
8-1.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So it showed you how good the boys did. But give us a little thumbnail about winter sports, would you?
I mean, hockey. If you stick on hockey right now, if you look at the teams that they played this year, Triton, Masco, North Andover, those are all teams that we play in the regular season for the purpose of getting ready for a Lincoln Sudbury in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, that was the best game we played all year. And we lost, and there wasn't one bad feeling in the locker room afterwards in terms of we didn't do enough, we didn't play hard enough, because they did. And they knew that. So there's obviously they were bummed to lose, and, you know, it's hard to see the season end in the first game of the playoffs, but they knew that, you know, if nothing else, they came together and played their best hockey when it mattered most. And that's what's so great about that team, is the bar is so high, and that's why they test themselves all year. You know, so they're battle-tested, and they're ready to go when it really matters.
You know, Andy, I just wonder what, you know, about that, because the you mentioned that schedule, and it was hellacious in some spots, and the kids didn't have the best record they've ever had. But on the other hand, I remember getting a B-plus in a graduate math course, and I felt better about that course than any other course I ever took because it was so damn hard. So there is the battle-tested point you mentioned. For the younger kids especially, and, you know, if the older kids happen to go on to play in other sports, it'll do them well as well.
You know, the thing in hockey this year was, yeah, they did struggle. They had a lot of injuries. They had a lot of, you know, illnesses, like every other team, right? You know, but it could have went one of two ways. They could have went in the bag. I think they started the season 1-6 or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, and they didn't. They battled back, and Coach Baldessari and I talked during the year, and remember, Danvers has a really strong history of competitive hockey, and how do you want to be remembered? Do you guys want to just flame out, miss the playoffs, and have nothing noteworthy come from this season, or are you gonna fight back and claw? And they did. When the chips were down, they laid it all on the line. They got some big wins when they needed to even qualify for the playoffs. So in terms of momentum, yeah, it wasn't the most successful season for them, but the team grew, they came together, and I think that group learned a lot about themselves, which is great in terms of building for next year and going into the offseason right now.
I'm amazed, Andy, when I go all across the North Shore and, you know, starting with Danvers, at the – it's more than dedication of the coaches. It's some kind of a cultural – a genetic heritage, I think, with some of these coaches, because as you said, you know, you put that falcon on your chest or on your back or whatever it is, and you hearken back to parents in the community, grandparents in the community, and, you know, I still see, when I go to games, Andy, I see guys who were going to games when I was in high school, and you know, we have that here on the North Shore. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's how it should be. You know, that's how you draw it up. You know, I love the history aspect of it. You know, when I took over in this job, a big part of what I did was revamping the trophy cases and the awards and really highlighting that stuff, because it is huge. It's so powerful in a school. You know, and our coaches, we have a good mix of young and old and new and experienced, but, you know, a lot of them have played here, or they played in the NEC, and they're very familiar with the territory, and they're passionate about it. And, like, when you go through that as a player, that sticks with you. And when you grow up and you want to be a coach, the one thing you want to do is replicate that. You want to capture that as a coach, and you want to infuse the next generation of kids with that mentality. And that's what, you know, guys like Steve Baldessari and Jimmy Hinchin, those guys have been around for a long time as players and coaches here, and it's really special. you know, to sort of have that commitment level and that desire to really be great.
While we're on hockey, just one more thing. Tim and I were talking with Dale Dunbar a couple of weeks ago before their tournament game, and they had I noticed one day I was at the Sylvan Street Grill having dinner, and I think it was when the season began, and Coach Baldessari had the team there. And then talking to Coach Dunbar, what you just mentioned about being, you know, infused in the community, they had a big dinner, I guess it was, on the 40th anniversary of the United States win over Russia. And, you know, Mike Aruzioni was there. Mike's always been an assistant coach. And that thing, it's just so cool. But also what's cool is the rivalries, the intense rivalries that the kids develop and the schools develop. And that's pretty good. Speaking of rivalries, let me get off the soapbox here. Tell us about the other winter sports teams, if you would, please.
I mean, wrestling's still semi going on right now, but I don't know if you caught any of that. We had two of our wrestlers. They were all state champs. This is Russ Canova, and Max Lee. They were all state champs, and then Max went on and won New England this past weekend. Russ got eliminated, I think, in the quarterfinals. But I mean, and Chad Abood, he plays fifth, you know, coming out of nowhere for that. I mean, it was just, it's an individual sport, you know, so it sometimes flies under the radar. But these kids work as hard, if not harder, than anyone sport-wise, and sort of the grind of what wrestling is, long weekend tournaments, you know, 8, 10, 12-hour tournament days. These kids have been, the bar has been raised so high with Coach Rich there and these guys, and they just take it and they eat it up. And they've represented the school unbelievably. These kids, they interact with my own children when they come around and some of our staff kids, and they have a way with them that just people gravitate towards them. And to see kids like that getting this type of success is just phenomenal. You know, we're really proud of that team. So they had an awesome winter. They did a really good job of recruiting these kids.
Mm-hmm.
He's taken over our boys' tennis job this year as well. And, you know, that program, we haven't even had a team in Danvers the last 2 years. We've co-op at Peabody. But we felt it was really important to get the team back this year and have it. It was a strong team in the 90s for us. You know, and he's got some experience coaching younger people several years ago. And he's a perfect guy because he recruits hard and he sees the benefits. He'll find multi-sport athletes and convince them to play tennis because it'll work on their footwork and their hand-eye coordination. You know, and he just, he lives for it. He loves doing that stuff and making these kids dynamic athletes. You know, so he's taken over and he's already got 7, 8, 9, 10 kids, I think, on the program registered already.
Excellent.
We didn't have more than a couple in the last few years, you know, that were on board in the co-op. So it's pretty good. You know, he's a good leader of that group, and you know, he sets the tone for those other kids, and they feed off of it.
All right, what else? What about the rest of your winter sports?
Yeah, the overall season was is a little bit down compared to what we're used to, but we still had some great performances. Swimming was 5-3, really strong. They had a team that qualified to the state tournament in the relay. Gymnastics did really well again. Unfortunately, they're in the same league as Masco. So Masco just won another state title, but they second in the league, did really well. They had an individual qualify for New England. Girls hoops to the tournament this year. It's sort of an up and down year, but they got beat pretty good by Tewksbury in the tournament. Boys basketball, they're struggling a little. They're young, but they're fighting.
You know,
they're scratching and clawing their way through games, and they just got to stay patient and hang in there, and good things will come with them. Girls hockey, they struggled a little bit, but they got this the co-op with Peabody and Beverly and Ipswich that we have. And they're showing progress. They're showing signs. Coach Finnecaro is doing a nice job with them. They got some talent coming, which is nice, so that'll help them out in future years. And then track, a lot of momentum in track for us, which is really nice. Track sort of kind of we've had good individual performers throughout the history of the program. Team-wise, I think they've gotten overshadowed by basketball and hockey in recent memory, but there's a lot of good numbers. There's a lot of good vibe right now going through the program with the coaches, Coach Bartlett and Coach Walsh there. They're doing a heck of a job recruiting kids and convincing kids to come out and working. They're actually working well with our other coaches from other seasons, you know, expressing the need to help these kids along. And that track workouts can actually enhance the other sports that the kids play. So there's a lot of great communication going on there. So we're excited for a pretty good spring with the track program now.
Pretty cool.
What else?
On Max Lee, he's 57-0 this year alone.
You know what?
That's an
watch, that's, his math. when you watch his matches, though, I'm not saying he's not trying or toying with people, but it's almost like he's thinking to himself, how creative can I be in scoring points? How many different ways can I score points on these guys? It's kind of the impression you get when you watch him because he's so technically sound and his endurance is off the charts. He just goes so hard at these guys, and he's scoring all different sort of ways. And I'm not a wrestling guy by any stretch, and I don't know all the ways you can score points, but watching him is phenomenal because everything he does is calculated.
Well, you know, you mentioned he's thinking in his head, how can I do this differently than the last time? That just has to drive opponents crazy because he never comes at anybody the same way twice. He doesn't come at the next opponent like he went after the previous opponent. There's nothing you can game plan for him.
And that was the beauty of him in New England this past weekend. He defeated the kid from Bishop Hendrickson in I think it's Rhode Island, who beat him last year in the finals.
Oh, all right.
Sweet redemption, you know. And that's what he is. Hmm. He's just a hungry kid who's smart. He studies, he prepares, you know, and he knows he can't do the same thing to every wrestler. So he goes in with a different game plan, but he's relentless, you know, and it's awesome. He's just a great kid, too, which makes it even better. But he's very dynamic. He's a special kid.
Now, on the co-op team, the girls play on, when you do that, do you sign up for a number of years to participate as a co-op team with the other teams, or is it on a year-to-year basis where you can opt out?
It's on a two-year basis co-op. The thing with girls hockey specifically, no school around here has the numbers to really support a team year in and year out. I mean, we've been with Beverly ever since I've been there, so at least 6 years, and I know it started before that. And you know, there's some years where we have a team split down the middle. There's other years where they might have three or four more kids, or we might have three or four. So it's been pretty even, but neither communities could do it alone. And Ipswich, I think, has one or two kids every year. But we just, unfortunately, the game is not at a place where it can sustain itself. Like the Masco team, I think, is made up of four or five different schools. Marblehead's got three or four different schools in their team. So it's sort of the culture in girls hockey right now, and I think it's just a numbers thing. There's not a lot of girls specific youth leagues that are around. So, but with that being said, this co-op has been awesome for us. It's been a great experience, I think, from Beverly's angle as well. You know, the girls, they play really well together. They get along very well, which you wouldn't imagine necessarily in high school. You know, I think it's harder for ADs and fans to sit there and watch our kids in Beverly's orange and black. You know, that's the hard part for us. Kids are happy and they get along and they have a great experience. So to be able to offer the sport for girls is what really matters at the end of the day. Someday, if we had enough interest and we could sustain having our own team at Danvers, it'd be great to do. But for the time being, I don't see that happening numbers-wise. You know, we've been very lucky with our relationship with Dan Keefe over there in Beverly. And, you know, the programs, it's a good offering for girls, and that's what it's all about.
All right, let's shift gears a little bit, Andy, for the last couple of minutes here. You're the first AD we've talked with so far about the new tournament format. And looking at the numbers, at the vote, it certainly was not a unanimous decision. So give me a little summary about the tournament and what your feelings are with respect to it.
Yeah, it is a state divided right now, pretty much. I mean, I see the merits of it. I'm guessing you guys are familiar with the basic overall
sort of
structure, but I'm not a fan of it, personally. I like the sections. I like having the north section. I like having that path to a championship. You're playing local teams. Interest is high. The rivalries are there. I think that's really special. I think that's winning a north title for so many schools means so much. And for a lot of schools, it's as high as it's ever going to get. You know, it's as far as you're ever going to go in the playoffs. It's very, very hard to win a state title. We've been very fortunate to win some. But that interest and that excitement and having mom and dad and grandma and grandpa be able to just drive to your games and support you, that you can't replace that. And, you know, having the schools and the students, fans, and everyone else, fan buses all heading there, I think that's really special. And the big thing about this new proposal is it's going to eliminate that, in my mind. They're going to stretch out. You're going to play statewide, so there won't be any regional sections. So potentially you could be traveling all over the state, or other teams from all over the state could be traveling to you. I fear that it's going to dilute sort of what we're doing a little bit. And that's my overall sort of impression of it. I get what they're trying to do. They want the best two teams in the divisions to play in the championship. But I would argue that every professional league that we know of doesn't do it that way. They have regionalized teams and groups. And, you know, if the Major League Baseball Eastern Division is the toughest one, then so be it. If you come out of the East, then you've done really well. I don't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah, that Friday night drive to, like, Lenox just might not be there for a lot of people.
Yeah, I'll see you there.
Yeah. I'm leaving tomorrow myself.
We'll take the bus.
I mean, and like I said, I get it. And, you know, we're still a couple of years off. And, you know, the other part I had is there's a lot of unanswered questions, I think, that go along with it, which I would have liked personally to see those answered before we made a move like this. Because, you know, to me, I don't think the current system is that bad. You know, and they were tasked with the tournament management committee was tasked simply with make the path even for the East, the West, the Central, you know, or excuse me, the West, the Central, the North, and South. Make it even so everyone's playing, for example, four games to the championship.
Well, there's one simple remedy to that, Andy, is that get rid of some of the teams you put in the Eastern Mass brackets.
Right.
So the teams don't have to play so many rounds. But no, the Sullivan rule says, oh, you get 500 record, you get to go in. Well, you know, and then some teams get in with a sub-500 record. They shouldn't be in there. I'm sorry. They haven't earned their way in. You get rid of those teams, you've got less rounds, and you get to that championship game that much faster.
I agree with you. I think it should be harder to make it. I think the Fed is not really striving for much, in my opinion. Flip side, I get that you want as many kids and teams and schools as possible to be a part of postseason run. You know, so that's kind of the divide, you know, but to me, it used to be the hard thing to do.
Yep.
You know, and we didn't suffer because we didn't win our league, but, you know, you knew halfway through the year if you were going to make it or not. So yeah, it's just different. I think a lot of it's different, and, you know, changes is something people always are slow to adapt to. I just think there was a way to answer the question of what they were supposed to do without blowing up the whole system. And I guess that's kind of what I go back to, because the sections are important. And I think the interest in high school sports is important. And I fear that they've taken that away by making these trips a lot longer with teams you don't know of, never heard of, or don't care about.
Well, and the thing is, too, you're going to play a game on the other side of the state during the school week. You're talking about kids with time on task. You're asking these kids to go across the state for a 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock game. They're not going to get home until after midnight. Some of these kids aren't coming to school the next day.
Yep. Well, I know. The time out of school is a big part. You know, our league, we kind of came together and spoke all these issues through. And we had a lot of good questions, a lot of good discussion. You know, we brought some of the management committee folks in to talk to us about it. And, you know, I give them credit. They worked really hard putting this together. There was no stone unturned in their mind. They've been at this for years trying to come up with something. So it was very thorough. But, yeah, their answer to that is let's play the games Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So you kind of take your chance. And, again, this isn't going to be like the Amherst in the playoffs. We're going to be traveling 3 hours every week. It's not going to be like that. That's a worst-case scenario. But you're going to travel. Some people will travel to you. You know, and those teams that – you know, if you have to get out of school at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., personally, I don't know how we do it. We don't have access to buses like that. And if we did, you're still those kids are missing the whole day of school, which we try not to do as best we can. But again, it might be here and there. It won't be all the time. So I think it's a little give and take. But again, it's something new. 5 years from now, it probably won't matter. People will be used to it, and they'll have figured out how to navigate it a little bit better.
Or there'll be something else.
Yeah, that's always a possibility.
Yeah.
Nothing's forever.
I know.
No, well, I'm still going to be bitter because my senior, my baseball team at Savio finished 13-7, and we missed the 70% by one game.
Yep.
So I'm still bitter all these years.
Yeah, okay. All right. All right, Andy, you got a lot to figure out, and you got spring sports coming up, so we're going to check in with you again pretty soon about spring sports, if that's okay.
I'm good, absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Andy. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Andy.
Take care, guys.
Take care. That is Andy St. Pierre, who's the director of athletics at Danvers High School. Another successful winter season for them, and they've got numbers up there, and they got multi-sport athletes, and they got a wrestling team to beat the band, mostly made up of football players, too. Pretty cool.
In doing that, flipping it around, you know, from football, they got you know, strong, fast kids. What this does for the football players is they get individually stronger. They're working all body muscles. So
that's kind of what I meant.
That just gives them greater stamina to go deeper into games. It develops your hand-eye coordination, your hand quickness, your feet, maintaining balance, shifting your weight, getting leverage, all these things that you need in wrestling to take on a guy one-on-one, especially on the line, that's what you're doing. It's a one-on-one battle where you've got to have leverage. You've got to be able to, you know, shift your balance. You've got to be able to get the upper body edge against the opposing lineman. So, and again, that talks volumes about the success that Davis has had on the football field by the quality and the success they've had on the wrestling mat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a two-way street. We'll be right back with Gary Larrabee. This is MSO News Sports on this Monday evening.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
All right, we're back now after feuding here in the broadcast booth. Gary Larrabee is joining us. Gary, golf writer, sports historian. How are you, Gary?
I'm wonderful, guys. We had a golfing-like day today. We have our first day of second actual day of long afternoons and evenings where we can play golf till 7:15 or whatever, and gotta be happy about all that, guys.
Yeah, and it's also a day like this with a little wind is good for drying out greens and fairways.
Yeah, I know I may have mentioned it last week, maybe not, but I know there's one golf course was open today, and I'm sure there were other publics, but this was Black Swan, the former Georgetown Country Club, was open for business today. No golf carts, but boy, oh boy, I can't remember the last time I got an email that said that golf was on the top of the agenda on March 9th, I'll tell you, guys, that's quite a thing.
For sure. Okay, Gary, the tournament yesterday. Okay, I did my homework and I was following parts of it yesterday when Imp was up on the top of the leaderboard and then he slipped a little bit, and Hatton came back and leapfrogged over him again. And as I look down the board of players, once again, there's just no teams there. I mean, there were a handful. And again, for the most part, they're not playing well. Is this just the guys that decide to go are just swinging the clubs? I know Keegan Bradley is a guy that has struggled. He was plus eight. Reed was plus three. Rory was even par. There were four guys that finished under par in this whole tournament. How difficult was the course?
Obviously, very difficult golf course. It's been that way. You know, it's a Jack Nicklaus design, and it's real tough. But we want to really know how tough it was, guys. You may have seen Rob Oppenheim score the first day 3 under par. I think he was tied for 11th after the first day, and I said to myself, "Oh my God, could this be Rob's weekend?" Of course, he faded big time after that. I think he shot 6 under the second day, and he didn't break 80 Saturday or Sunday. Of course, he's in good company. That's exactly where Tiger finished at the Genesis at the era several weeks back. So obviously a very tough golf course. I think these are the high score guys on the PGA Tour so far this year. When -4 wins, and we've only got, as you say, Tim, four players under par. Just the way it works. We move on this week and we'll see how it goes this week, and there'll probably be more no-names up there. It's just the way the tour is these days. Of course, there was no names at the top of the leaderboard in the senior tour event, the Champions Tour, where our old friend Ernie Els won his first Champions Tour event out of Newport Beach, California, which is nice to see. Els shoots 197. 16 under, and good old Fred Couples right there, right behind him. So that's where the the names appear for the moment, guys, on the Champions Tour.
Well, there aren't many guys that don't have names when you watch the Champions Tour, Gary. You know, it's like you watch the Champions, it's like reliving your youth.
Yeah, no, it did good, interesting stuff, and like nice to see one of the nicest guys in the history of the game, Ernie Els, win his first Champions Tour event.
Is his back better? I know that's been plaguing in the last few years and kept him off the course.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that was a pure indicator yesterday and this week, past weekend, that the old boy has got some serious game back, and it's a big drop down for him. He's been playing in the regular tour all these years, and it's his first year, of course, just turning 50 on the Champions Tour, and he could become the next dominator out there. We'll see how that develops.
Yeah, for him, it's all about staying healthy with that back.
Yeah, big news locally, guys. Not big news, yeah, big news locally. I have impeccable sources that tell me that Ipswich native Dick Haskell is a finalist who may be voted in. We haven't gotten final results yet, but he may be voted into the Massachusetts Golf Hall of Fame later this year. They should be making that announcement in the next couple of weeks, no later, I think, than the 1st of April. But Dick Haskell grew up in Ipswich, worked for Sports Illustrated, became executive director, the first really full-time modern-age executive director of the Mass Golf Association. Moved in closer to Boston for work, as well as the opportunity to play and be a member at the country club. But we'll be very happy if Dick Haskell, Ipswich native, becomes our latest North Shore product to make it into the Massachusetts Golf Hall of Fame. Stand by on that one, guys.
And we will do that. Is there anything else in local golf goings on? What will be some of the first tournaments that'll take place on the on the local tour?
And nothing kicks in, Tim, till the I think it's the end of April, 1st of May. I think there's some senior four ball and the regular four and team event put on by Mass Golf. Other big news, Tim, of course, is the fact that Tiger Woods is not playing is significant, and we don't know the Masters, but he's got some back problems again. He hasn't played since he finished dead last, playing four rounds at L.A. So that's certainly a major concern for the tour and for all of golf, but we'll certainly wish Tiger the best. We also have some colleagues.
Whoa. Did you just say wish Tiger the best?
I really did, yes.
I wanted to verify that. You know, I over the weekend when I was watching golf, they showed some film of Tiger, and I don't know if it was recent, but his swing it looked so forced. It had none of the fluidity and none of the power that we used to seeing in Tiger taking shots. It just seemed like a totally different person swinging the golf club, and I'm thinking, is this recent? Because it would be indicative of the fact that he's got some lower back problems.
Yeah, I don't know how recent that clip that you saw was filmed, but obviously there's a lot of concern if he's hurting and can't play in the Players' Championship. Obviously he wants to defend. His only interest right now is to defend in the Masters, and that's coming up now, guys, and I think it's in 4 weeks. Lastly, though, we have a few collegians who have kicked off their spring seasons. Stephen Delisio did not play too well in the first two events that Duke played. Duke won one of their matches. They lost the other one, but he's playing for Duke, his final season for the Blue Devils. Chris Fancur from Amesbury and playing for URI has not kicked off his spring season yet. The Turner brothers from Gloucester and Bass Rocks, Mark and James, have kicked off their season for Dartmouth. And Mark played in the first event down in Florida. James did not. Mark did not play well. He finished near the bottom. So those guys have some work to do to get their games in shape before we get too far along here in the spring season.
Will Chris look to turn pro following his senior season, Gary?
We expect him to.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's discussed last summer. But it's still a wait-and-see thing, and things could change. But right now he's just keen on hopefully having a great final.
You know, the thing too, you're in your final semester of your senior year, and you know, there's the pressure of graduating on time, keeping your GPA up, planning on, well, if it's not golf right now, what am I going to be doing? So there could be a lot of little moths flying around in the back of the head there that could be a distraction for him as well.
Well, lots of factors, and but right now he's doing fine academically, and they're on their way to a spring season that hopefully will end at the NCAA. They had a very poor showing at the NCAA finals last year, and they certainly want to make up for that, but we'll see how that all plays out over the next 3 months, guys.
All right, Gary, before we let you go, any thoughts on the Celtics' recent slide?
Well, they're not completely healthy, but they're certainly showing a lack of killer instinct losing these close games, especially losing them at home to mediocre teams. All the Houston game a week ago Saturday we talked about last week.
Yep.
Was a classic. They've got issues, and I think the coach is on the hot seat a little bit here. They blow long, you know, they blew big leads the last two home games, and they got quite a test this week. I think they're in Indianapolis tomorrow night, then they're in Milwaukee Thursday. They got to get going. I don't care who's on the floor for them. They have to get their act together and play more like their potential. But let's hear it for Maximilian Leet, who just won his third state wrestling championship for DMSI. He just won the New England yesterday. And how about the Beverly High boys basketball team?
Oof.
They've won. Now they've got a chance to play in the Garden Wednesday night, and hopefully they'll be pulling off a Danvers 2012 achievement, which is when Danvers won their first state championship. And right now Beverly's two wins away from that. And of course, that was also Damas's first appearance this far along in the tournament. So exciting times right now for the Beverly boys. Wednesday night, the same night that we'll also be hopefully rooting for the St. John's Prep Eagles to pull off some magic on the hockey rink.
Good stuff, Gary. Good stuff. All righty then. Let's see. No holiday next week, so we should be doing this again.
Let's try. Let's do it.
Hey, thank you, Gary. Thanks so much.
Good night, man.
All right,
night,
talk
Gary.
To you later. It's Gary Larrabee, sports writer, golf historian. He's a sports writer. He's also a sports historian and a golf writer and written many books. You've read at least one of his books.
Mm-hmm. And I gave one of his other books away as a present long before I knew Gary, but my buddy is a big golf fan, big golfer, plays quite a bit.
Well, you're a big golfer.
And I'm just big. And golfer is not a word people would use if they saw me swing a club. You know, they usually refer to me as McGill or Gorilla.
No.
It's not a pretty sight. But I gave away his book on the North Shore golf courses, and I forget where I saw it. I went, oh, that's perfect for Joe, and I went and I bought it, and then. After we had known Gary for a couple of years, I said, Joe, give me the book. And I asked Gary if Gary would autograph the book for him. And he very graciously consented. We met at the Salem Country Club, and Gary autographed the book for my buddy.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yes, it is.
All right. We had hoped to talk with Bill Newell at this point, but Bill actually is working right now doing an interview that we'll be talking about probably tomorrow or the next day.
Can I go home early? You know, for all the days you've kept me here late, can I backtrack? And no, huh?
I'm just saying, you know, you get what you pay for, I guess. I don't know. So, whatever.
If that's the case.
Yeah, what kind of a comment is that?
Wow.
All right, let's take a break, then we'll talk some more sports here, and we'll mention the games we've got coming up here on MSO. We're going to be broadcasting games and covering games from the Garden, so we'll do that in just a few minutes here, and if Bill becomes available, we'll get him on. We'll be right back.
Seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street, a great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
And all year round. Pick up an ice cream cake for that special occasion. Cherry Farm Creamery offers the best ice cream right off Route 128 on Conant Street in Danvers. Or visit them at cherryfarmcreamery.com.
Okay, the Triton-Lincoln-Sudbury score is the final. Lincoln-Sudbury winning the D2 North title 8-1 over Triton. A bit of a surprise, certainly, that score. Tomorrow night, Bill Newell will be at the Garden, and he will be broadcasting, so we get that 60-cycle hum off. There we go. He'll be broadcasting the Lynn English boys basketball game. That's the Division I state semifinals versus Mansfield, 7:15 start. And then on Wednesday night, I'll help Bill out as he'll be broadcasting the Beverly Whitman Hansen game. That will be at 7:45 from the Garden, and that is, again, the that'll be the D2 state semifinals. But we'll also be covering, we're not going to be broadcasting, but we'll be covering three other games at the, those games that are at the Garden. Looks like,
St. Mary's versus
I'm not sure all three of them can be there. Can they at that time fit all three games in that time?
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
At 2 o'clock, it's St. Mary's versus Rockland. At 3:45, it's St. Mary's boys versus Burke. So the first one was St. Mary's girls versus Rockland at 2 p.m. The St. Mary's boys will play Burke at 3:45. The North Reading will play Foxborough at 5:30. And then if all those games go off relatively on time, then we'll be broadcasting at 7:45 Beverly versus Whitman Hansen.
Well, you know what it's going to be like. It's going to be like the Super Bowl games. You finish, you get a 10-minute halftime, you're on, you're back on the field, you start it right up, game ends, you get off the court, the next team comes on, and you got 5 minutes to get loose, and all of a sudden you're playing.
So we'll have all that stuff coming up Tuesday. Tomorrow it's just the one game, and then on Wednesday we'll cover the other games. We'll have posts up on our website frequently. We'll be frequently changing, updating the scores and so on, so you'll need to refresh your browser often. And then on Wednesday evening, the game will start at approximately 7:45. And congratulations to everybody who participated in the tournament. It was a great hockey tournament. I couldn't get up there tonight. I wanted to, and I couldn't get up there the other night either. But great hockey tournament in D2 North. Excuse me. And Lincoln-Sudbury, a powerhouse all season long, winning the D2 North title tonight by a score of 8-1.
I got to talk to Jack Costanza, the sophomore sensation from Gloucester, and after they had lost to Lincoln-Sudbury, he said, "Wow, what a physically big team they were," and that can wear you down. You get those guys leaning on you. You get those guys taking you into the boards. Those hits add up. That leaning on really can tie you out. And if you're leaning on them trying to when you're playing defense, that also takes a toll on your body. So I don't know what kind of size Triton had, but I would bet a nickel against a dime that they weren't as physically big as Lincoln-Sudbury. But congratulations to both teams getting to that point. There has to be a winner. There has to be a loser. There's no shame in losing in this particular game. So you look back on your season and you say, boy, we gave it all. We came up a little bit short in this title game. But, you know, you have to win your games to get there. And so take it for what that's worth. You guys accomplished quite a bit this year, more than anybody else in this area. So, again, there's a lot of things you can hang your hat on.
We will be talking baseball, of course, coming up soon, and I'm sure we'll sprinkle a little Red Sox talk in. I don't want to do that right now, but any opinion on the free agency situation down in Foxborough?
Nope.
Me too. There's no way to know.
No, because, you know, everybody can say whatever they want. You don't know. You know, I told my buddy the other day, I said, you know, Brady Belichick and Kraft are all sitting there laughing because they've all put on this bold front about not communicating, and it doesn't behoove Tom really to go one ear out. So does he have to something to prove that I can win without Bill? I don't think his ego demands that. I think Mr. Kraft said, I'm not going to intervene, is what Bill wants to do. But I think Bill knows that, you know, Tom is taking a lot of pay cuts, even though he's been well compensated, to keep the team viable and in the playoffs every year. And thanks to some shrewd business dealings and having the money to give them cap flexibility, and Tom, pay Tom for a couple of years, you know, and don't worry about it, because you know he's going to give you all the snaps. You know, you get a little bit more time to develop Stidham or another quarterback if you want to draft. If there's somebody that good in the draft, you know, you can do that. But I've never thought that he was going to go anywhere. But play it out. You know, give the nitwits on the radio something to talk about. And they have. They've kept the airwaves filled. More people have talked about what is Tom Brady going to do than they have talked about.
But what kills me is they talk like they know what they're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think he's going to go here.
Yeah, this is the reason.
They have no idea.
What I would want to do, though, if I could talk to Tom Brady, if we could have him on here on the show, I would just say to him, you have given so much enjoyment as a quarterback of the Patriots to so many people on so many Sundays for the last 20 years. Please stay and finish it out, because he's an absolute icon in the region. The rest of the country, I don't know that he is. You know, it'd be like Peyton Manning coming here, I suppose. But I would just say to him, you know, please stay. You know, and I'd do the same thing. I would tell Kraft and Belichick the same thing. Guys, keep him here. You know, bend a little bit if that's what it takes. But for God's sakes. And you know what? Make him the highest paid quarterback of all time, at least for a year.
Well, you know, you've been to 9 Super Bowls during his time. You've won 6 of them. You know, how many other conference championships have you gone to and not made it through, but you've gotten to the AFC Championship? Yeah, we owe more thanks than we can ever give to the Tom Brady-led Patriots over the last 19, 20 years.
But, you know, it's
been ridiculous.
Have you watched? It's like watching the old Bobby Orr films on Facebook when someone posts a Bobby Orr highlight film or a Larry Bird highlight film. There's something. I mean, we watched the first Harry Potter movie last night, and we hadn't seen that in a long time, probably 20 years. And I forgot how good it was and how good the acting was and how great the storyline is. So you see Larry Bird, you figure out, oh, man, the things he could do. I forgot. Same thing with Orr. And we've had Brady is still, well, until right now, he's still doing it. But you look at those films, Tim, and I don't think people appreciate really, well, I know they do, but some people don't appreciate what he did and can still do. It's just, it's phenomenal. And to me, the quintessential Tom Brady is that Atlanta Super Bowl game.
Oh yeah, you know that's one they'll be showing it, you know, in Atlanta never again. but yeah, you know, you watched him last year, and you watched some of the throws he made, laying it in there, and you know, putting it on a line to a receiver, and you're going. And they say he can't do this stuff. They say he can't throw the ball anymore. Who the hell is watching? They're not watching what we're watching. They're not seeing what we see. And, you know, I actually finally agree with Stephen A. Smith. He was on yesterday. And the five best places for Brady to land. And his number one was the Patriots. He believes that Brady's not going anywhere. Not that I believe anything that he ever says.
Yeah, but he's a showman.
You know. Oh, he was. But he came up and he said, Brady, the Patriots. And I'm thinking, okay, there's one thing you finally got right. That I don't think Tom's going to go anywhere. I think the Patriots will pony up. I think they want to give Tom a chance to see what he can get. Maybe see how much people are going to offer him and go, wow, okay. Is somebody going to make a ridiculous offer for him? Yes. You're going to see somebody make a ridiculous offer to him. Will he take it? He could. I mean, there's always that chance, you know. You know, the difference between him and I look back at him and Peyton Manning leaving, they didn't want Manning. He was hurt. You know, he was one hit away from never walking again. His neck was so bad.
Right.
He took a great chance in going to Denver and playing. And if you watch his throws that last year in Denver, he threw a dying quail single time. If he didn't have talented receivers to go and get those passes, and if he didn't have a defense for the ages playing when he wasn't on the field, they had never won that Super Bowl. He had nothing to do with winning that Super Bowl.
It wasn't the same Peyton Manning.
Oh, no, and he put his life on the line.
Okay.
He could have been paralyzed.
Quick quiz. All right?
No, I hate these.
Chris Sale.
You're not going to see him till probably All-Star break. He's damaged goods. We've been waiting for this kind of injury to happen, and you'll be lucky to see him by the All-Star break, I think.
Kemba Walker.
Well, the knee is suddenly more of a problem than I think even the Celtics were figuring on it being. It's beginning to bother me at the wrong time of the season. As you're getting deeper into the season, the playoffs are going to be coming up. You're going to need him at full strength to not carry the offense, because he hasn't carried the offense this year. It's been such a balance. But you need him on the floor as that added dimension, that added threat that can drain a three, that can go to the hoop, that can make the pass. The Scrubs have done a decent job in his place, but they're not a long-term solution as yet.
Johnny Boychuk.
I wish we still had him.
Did you see what happened to him?
No.
Oh, you didn't know that. Boychuk, they showed it, and it was very graphic. He was near his own net. Player went down in front of him, and he went into the guy's skate face. And it cut his face top to bottom, and they thought he was going to lose his eye, but it only cut the eyelid. 93 stitches.
Oh, my God.
And he apologized. He apologized on Facebook for not answering his Facebook feed for all the well wishes he got because he couldn't see. He apologized. I mean, oh, my Lord. Yeah, I wish we still had him, too.
That was a bad giveaway. I don't know. I can't recall what we got in return, but he was just the kind of solid two-way player you need.
It just shows you, though, the fine line in sport, you know, and it immediately brought back to me. I forget, was it Malarchuk? I think it was a St. Louis goalie who had his carotid artery.
Oh, sorry.
No, it wasn't Sawchuk. It was not Sawchuk. Sawchuk, this was, I can't remember who it was, and he might have been playing for Buffalo at the time, but anyway, this was after Sawchuk's time period, and his carotid artery got cut by a skate, and there was a doctor, the team doctor. This was probably 15, 20 years ago or more. Team doctor went on, they rushed him onto the ice, and he actually grabbed the carotid. He had to reach down inside the guy's collarbone and, you know, inside the shoulder pads and so on, and grabbed the carotid artery, and he had it in his hands as they took him to the hospital and saved his life. Never played hockey again, thank God.
Well, you know, it always amazes me the very low number of injuries by skates. Guys fly all over the place. Yeah. Their feet are flying all over the place. And even with the face shield, those skates come up underneath easily. Uh-huh. And it's just by luck of the draw that those skates don't cut more people or go across somebody's Achilles tendon.
Yeah, it is the craziest sport. It is really something. All right, Coach, I think that's it. Any final thoughts, pros, college, high school, whatever?
Well, March Madness is upon us fairly soon. The conference championships were mostly all settled this past weekend.
What are three or four of the top teams? I have no idea.
I don't know either. I really haven't followed. Oregon's up there.
Duke, Kentucky, Louisville, Michigan.
No, not Louisville. No, Louisville got crushed in their tournament. I don't think Louisville.
Oh, that's
Duke.
Too bad.
But there's also San Diego State has had a good year. Ohio State's had a good year.
What about UConn women? Where are they?
They are ranked number 5.
Oh,
though,
okay.
Though that could change. Well, they're 27-3. They're ranked number 5.
Oh, terrible
Baylor,
year.
Baylor, who was number 2, lost in their tournament. So they fell. And UConn could be up to 3 or 4 tonight.
All right. All right, Coach, thank you very much for being here tonight. I appreciate it. Thank you to Bill Newell and also, of course, to our guest this evening, a little slimmer list than usual, Annie St. Pierre, the athletic director at Danvers High School, and to Gary Larrabee, formerly at the Salem News, but sports writer, golf writer, and so on. And we did not make connections with Triton coach Ryan Sheehan, but congratulations to Coach Sheehan with respect to the great job that they've done. It was Malarchuk. I thought it was. Okay. And it was Buffalo. Thank you. Who is that? Who said that?
I got a phone number.
Thank you very much. Clint Malarchuk. All right. I was right. It was just a guess. Wow. The brain ain't gone yet. Thank you. We have a listener.
Wait a minute. 978-340. That could...
I don't know. Hold on. I don't know where that is. All right. Let me get out of here. On behalf of our MSO sports team, thank you very much for joining us. Don't forget, broadcast coming up tomorrow night from the Garden. It's Lynn English Basketball, and we'll be covering all those games on Wednesday with Beverly Live at night. Thank you. This is MSO News Sports. For Tim, for Bill, and for Bill, I'm Rick. Bye-bye.